Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Andrew Johnson of National Review is in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We've got good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. And Andrew, we are now just 2 days away from the runoff for the U.S. Senate seat, as well as a couple of House seats and some other races in Louisiana. And we've pretty much been confident ever since, even before the general election day back in November, that Bill Cassidy had a very good chance to pick up this seat. Mary Landrieu barely won a plurality in the jungle primary. Cassidy has led by double digits comfortably in every poll, but most of them were around 12, 14, 15. We now have two different polls out here in the final days of this campaign. Granted, not from organizations most people have probably heard of, but right now it looks like this could be an absolute romp. One poll has it 57-33 in favor of Cassidy. Another one that we're going to take a closer look at here shows it to be 60-34, so a 26-point bulge and barely a third of the vote for a three-term incumbent Democrat in terms of Mary Landrieu. So we kind of felt that the dam was bursting here for Mary Landrieu, Andrew, but this could be really, really good.
I wonder if in Louisiana, if they talk about December surprises, because if she has any, she better be pulling it out quickly. But this looks like a romp. I mean, we think back to a month ago, and it just sort of shows the magnitude of the Republican wave. People were gearing up. They knew there'd be this Louisiana runoff. It's going to still be a hard fight. That's not done with. People are worried about a Georgia runoff a month from now. You know, I'm sure there are a lot of sort of staffers on the Purdue campaign thinking, like, am I going to be here through Christmas? But it just shows that in a lot of these red states, these red state Democrats are just being phased out. They're either associated with the president, they're unpopular, their policies aren't in line. And Mary Landrieu is just the latest example of that. Look, going into the midterms, everyone thought, well, Pryor and Landrieu will be tough to beat. Pryor didn't even get 40% of the vote in Arkansas, despite aggressive campaigning by the Clintons as well. And I guess it's sort of just a turning of the tides in these states.
Yeah, Southern Democrats, endangered species. In that poll where it's 60-34, listen to some of these numbers. A favorable for the president, 27.8%. Unfavorable, 66.4% unfavorable. Mary Landrieu, 32.5% favorable, 61.6% unfavorable. Cassidy is above water, 48% favorable to 34.6% unfavorable. So, I mean, just looking at those, you knew the number down the line about where this runoff is looking would not be good for Landrieu, but this is beyond our wildest expectations.
Yeah, and she probably knows that too. We talked about a few weeks ago sort of the desperate lengths she was going against Cassidy to do everything she could to hold on to the seat, you know, basically saying he didn't do anything during the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina when A, he wasn't an elected official, but B, it turns out he did sort of set up a, you know, it was like a mobile clinic or something like that in a Kmart parking lot and you know, was active in that way in the aftermath. So Landrieu is probably very aware of these numbers too and realizing that, you know, she only has a couple days left.
Yeah, it seems to be the case. And of course, she was down with Chuck Todd right before the general election and saying that the reason she's struggling is because of latent racism and sexism down there. She's kind of going in that same direction here at the end of the runoff by trying to appeal to get a bigger turnout, particularly in the African-American community, by saying that Cassidy disrespects the president. Risky strategy anyway when you look at Obama's approval numbers in Louisiana. But in the debate this week, Landrieu was asked by one of the questioners, well, how is Cassidy disrespecting the president? And her answer was, sometimes he only refers to him by his last name.
There you go, because I'm sure she was always so reverential to President Bush.
Exactly. So.
Well, you know, and if Saturday goes this way, if it looks like Cassidy ekes it out, I guess she can find consolation in knowing she can always go right back home to Capitol Hill.
Yeah, Landrieu's going back to Capitol Hill either way. So it's definitely imploding for her, and it'll be fun to see the results if these are anywhere close to accurate. All right, on to the bad martini now. And over the Thanksgiving break, it's kind of a slow news time, but one of the stories that came out is that there was a private organization that had sued to release records of communication between the IRS and the White House, trying to see if there was any collaboration or sharing of taxpayer information between the two as it related to the IRS scandal and the extra scrutiny for conservative organizations. The Treasury seemed to indicate, well, yeah, there's about 2,500 pages of this, and we're just trying to go over to make sure no sensitive information is going to go public. Well, now, this is from the Washington Examiner, Paul Bedard. Less than a week after fessing up that it found some 2,500 documents potentially showing that the IRS shared taxpayer returns with the White House, the Obama administration has reversed course and will not release the trove to a group suing for access. In an abrupt decision, the Treasury Inspector General's office said the documents are covered by privacy and disclosure laws and can't be provided to cause of action, despite a promise last week to hand them over. So we're not going to get to see them after all unless this court battle gets a little more ugly.
It's sort of the situation with the IRS is sort of ongoing and not being settled. And still, every time one of these little moments happens, it just raises more questions and more concerns. Well, why are they doing this now? What's going on? I guess sort of what the other bad martini element for this with me is also that the Obama administration does a very good job of sort of controversializing these sorts of issues, whether it's the IRS, whether it's Benghazi, whether it's any of these issues, that, you know, just become sort of such a political mess that people kind of start to almost glaze, you know, their eyes kind of glaze over when they hear about it. They kind of already have made up their mind. It's just become so messy. They don't even know what to think about it anymore. Or they've already made their opinions. It's just too complicated. And so when something like this comes up, And conservatives get upset about it, you can already see the people on the left sort of saying, oh, you guys are still obsessed with this IRS thing. You know, President Ray said there's not a smidgen of corruption. There's nothing to see here. Why are you guys so focused on this? Blah, blah, blah. And unfortunately, these things just sort of linger and hang around and don't get resolved. So when you're this cause of action group, and again, you were told you were going to get these documents and now you're not, you can't help but question what's going on.
Yeah. Well, we've seen the president's actions on this issue as well as many others. We see his approval ratings in Louisiana. And now we have his actions on a third issue, and that's our crazy martini. This is from ABC News. The Senate confirmed the producer of a soap opera, The Bold and the Beautiful, today to serve as ambassador to Hungary. And Senator John McCain is not happy about it. He says, we're about to vote on a totally unqualified individual to be ambassador to a nation which is very important to our national security interest. Again, it's Hungary. It's, you know, it's pretty close to some of the action that's going on in the very eastern part of Europe with respect to Ukraine and Russia. And now we've got the Bold and the Beautiful producer doing that. Also, the Senate confirming Noah Mamet to be the next ambassador to Argentina. He's the guy who admitted in his confirmation hearing that he's never been to Argentina. And Andrew, it's certainly not unprecedented for presidents to put their donors or friends in ambassadorial positions. But the statistics have shown that Obama has done this much more than any other. My favorite part of this story in ABC is Barbara Boxer defending the choice of Colleen Bradley Bell to be the ambassador to Hungary by saying she's an intelligent woman, she knows how to be successful, she'll do a good job, and she'll do very well, I think, in this position because I know her well, and she knows how to make friends, and she's not angry.
Yeah, one of the things McCain said is that, you know, he says he gets it, he gets that political appointees, get these sweet gigs, and that's how the game is played. But what the issue is sort of, I guess, where these sweet gigs are, and that, yeah, I mean, Hungary is sort of in the middle of everything that's going on, or at least, you know, very nearby everything that's going on with Russia and Eastern Europe. And so it does kind of raise questions and sort of make rightfully a lot of people nervous. I mean, not only was there that Argentina ambassador, I did a piece on the ambassador to Norway earlier this year, who, again, gave a similar response. At least he had actually been to Norway, but he said only as a child. So, you know, he had some foreign policy experience. But it's also, I guess, sort of getting attention in some of these countries. Again, with this Norwegian situation, there were Norwegian newspapers that called this guy's testimony faltering, that, you know, he had no credibility. It was a, quote, jaw-dropping diplomatic blunder on the part of the Obama administration. This is, again, Norwegian papers writing this. And so it's not helping the United States case and their credibility when they do this. And so I'd have to go back to see what McCain said for all these other ones, but, you know, maybe this was the straw that broke the camel's back, and then they sort of just saying, enough's enough. You know, again, I get this happens sometimes, but we need to at least be somewhat considerate about what's going on here.
Andrew, I've worked with you several times. I can say that you're intelligent, you like to make friends, and you're not angry. So what country would you like to be ambassador to?
Well, I've never been to Hungary, so I think I'm qualified for that, too.
Someplace with a nice beach. Monaco, yeah. Monaco maybe? You know,
that, there you go. That'd be a sweet gig.
That can't be that hard of a job. So, think about it. I'll never be president, but if I am, you know, You're clearly qualified. So,
all right, I'll start coming up with my list.
Andrew, always great to have you filling in for Jim. Thanks for doing it.
Take it easy. Thanks.
Andrew Johnson in for Jim Garrity today. Jim will be back on Friday. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to join us again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.